Speaking of crackers,
she has a $30,000 Cartier watch going on, and the ring is $550,000. So
of course, they made the California bear skinny because guess what? The California bear can't afford to eat here.
Yeah, that bear does look a little bit emaciated.
Now, if you want to burn an American flag, you should bring a kiddie pool.
Funded by George Soros. I
think that like a strap-on was entering the Disney movie. Welcome to today's show. We have so much good-ish for you today. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, a lot of things going on.
A lot. Biggest pop culture news story of the week and possibly of the year is that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce have officially decided to tie the knot and they are engaged. Your favorite couple.
It's not my favorite couple. It might be your favorite couple. It's not me. And also, people do care, right?
Oh my God. Have you not seen the videos online of people finding out in the workplace and they're like, oh my God, they're engaged. Did you read the cat? I'm like, oh my gosh, who are these people? I guess Swifties.
No, I actually have a very different video that I saw of people reacting to it at work where they didn't see or they didn't react to it at all. They're like, who is this? What's going on?
They what? They didn't know who Taylor Swift was?
Okay, so play E3.
What?
Taylor Swift got engaged.
Okay.
That's it?
Woo!
Hey, Chaz. Did you hear?
What?
Taylor Swift got engaged.
With who?
Chad,
okay. What do you want me to do about it?
What's up?
Taylor Swift got engaged.
Congratulations.
Hear what?
Travis Kelce got engaged.
What? No.
One last guy for you, dude.
Fuck! No!
What?
Did you hear?
Hear what?
T Swift got engaged.
I could give a fuck less. Good care.
What's up, bro?
Did you hear Taylor Swift got engaged?
Who?
Taylor Swift.
Engaged?
Yeah.
Okay. To who?
What?
To who?
Travis Kelce.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What?
Did you hear?
Did I hear what?
Taylor Swift got engaged.
Gives a fuck.
Okay, this is hilarious, but I have to wonder if this is like a spoof on everybody else's crazy reactions.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but that would be my reaction because, okay, great. I know that they exist. It's like they're getting engaged, but like, why would I care about it?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not the biggest fans of the couple, but I think they're genius business people. Period. End. Done. Taylor Swift, a week and a half ago, announced the drop of her new album, which is coming out the first week of October. So right in the middle of football season. They announced it like 10 days before football season is going to start. And the first game is going to be in Sao Paulo, Brazil, which is interesting because there's this blind item. If you look on E2, Crazy Days and Nights, the Celebrity Blind, this came out a week before their engagement. And it says there have been whispers that the A++ list singer, that's Taylor Swift, might try and break the audience record in this country the same weekend her lover plays there. And so if this blind is true, which they have like a 90% accuracy rate, what better way to help break an audience record than be the newly engaged, soon to be Mrs. Kelce?
That's what I'm saying. How real is any of this? Are they really in love? Maybe. And I don't have a problem with Taylor Swift, just to clarify. The music is good, I'm sure. And also, I don't have a problem with Kelce either, right? Great football player. But how much of this is like for the marketing aspect?
Well, we know that Travis Kelce, and you said you don't have a problem with him. I do.
You have a problem with him? Sure.
I have a problem with him.
Oh,
yes.
What's the beef? What's the beef?
Element F2, let's pull it up. We do know Travis Kelce likes to do two things at once, and this is the first time I ever really heard of Travis Kelce. This is his Pfizer ad, get the flu shot, and the COVID vaccine. Let's watch this.
Travis, did you know you can get this season's COVID-19 shot when you get your flu shot?
Two things at once! I'll have the two things at once, please.
Now back to two things at once.
Two things at once.
It's not two things at once.
Mom.
Travis, ask about getting this season's COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much you got paid for that. Probably a good amount, right? Just to shill the Pfizer vaccine.
I mean, for sure, like 10 to 50 million, probably.
So my biggest problem with this whole thing, right? Because I don't have a problem with this in general. I don't really care about it that much. But my biggest problem with this whole thing is the Instagram post announcing the engagement and the caption of it specifically that says, your English teacher and your gym teacher are getting married. These two people, I mean, that's just like, oh, we're regular people. And then you look closely.
It's so laughable.
You look closely at the picture. She's wearing a $400 dress. She has a $30,000 Cartier watch going on. And the ring is $550,000. So these are not normal people. And the caption suggests that, oh, yeah, it's just your English teacher and your gym teacher getting married. And we're normal people just like you.
Well, I think that it really plays to her audience. And Candace Owens has spoken about this, that she's 35 years old, but her target audience is like 12. And so it's just interesting. You know, she dresses up as this like tween, and she's a middle, well, I don't want to say middle age because she's not far from my age. And I just don't want to put myself in that category.
Which is middle age. I'm just saying, hey, middle age is middle age.
We're not there for like another 15, 20, 25 years, however long I can push that down the road. But I'm just saying it is interesting when Candace talks about this, that like, you know, everything she does is to play to this audience. But again, you know, like you talked about the dress she was wearing, the Ralph Lauren dress, $400, sold out in 20 minutes. You know, now every single engagement ring is going to be the vintage cut that Travis Kelce got her. They're trendsetters. I'm not fans of them. And then it's interesting to see like all the conservative, you know, puppets that have been talking about them and hating on them for years. They're all now coming out and saying, like Charlie Kirk, like, this is great. I hope America takes a page out of their book, gets married, and starts to have lots of kids. I wish them a lifetime of happiness and 10 kids. So
that is interesting, yes, because they've hated on them for years. And now that they're getting married and doing conservative things, I guess they could prop that up. And now, and Trump too, right? Didn't Trump say some nice things where he said, oh, what a nice couple. I like Kelce. I like Taylor Swift, even though he's bashed them. I think both. Yeah. There's a clip that he says, oh, yeah, they're nice people. I wish them the best of luck.
I've not seen this. I'm kind of shocked by that. Do you have it?
It's C3.
Okay, let me check this out.
I'll have to ask you a serious question, but I have to tell you the biggest pop culture news of the year broke while we were in this cabinet meeting. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are engaged, and the world wants your reaction, sir.
Well, I wish him a lot of luck. I think it's, I think he's a great player. I think he's a great guy, and I think that she's a terrific person. So I wish them a lot of luck.
I'm serious now.
Wow, isn't that a 180 during the election?
I don't know what's going on. I don't know, but I think this is all back to the infamous Jordan quote from like 40 years ago or something. Republicans buy shoes too. It's like, hey, this is a business here.
I mean, it's a huge business. And I do give them credit for being unbelievably smart business people.
And the timing, right? You were saying the timing is so apropos, right? It's right before the season starts.
Yes.
And she's got a new album dropping, right?
Yep.
So
possible secret concert in Brazil. She wants to break records. No, she's super smart. He's super smart. And now we're just going to have to wait and see if this is real. Are they going to actually tie the knot? Are they going to pop out a few kids? Because that will change Taylor Swift's brand quite a bit. Because, you know, unless you're going to be 16 and pregnant, you can't really keep up that image, right? So it'll be interesting to see what happens or if she's going to grow with her audience.
I think it would be sort of in line, right? It's just her next stage, her next era, so to speak.
I mean, the engagement dress is very trad wives. I will say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, I don't think she's like that, quote unquote, like woke about all those things. I don't really interpret that. I think she's like very middle America. That's why she has such broad appeal, right? Because she could appeal to any base. She's not like a Chapel Roan.
Yeah, I think that she, like I said, is a smart businesswoman and she wants to portray herself that way. Who really knows what her true thoughts on anything are? Yeah. But she's playing it like a genius. So good for her. Going on to the next topic, speaking of crackers, have you heard about the Cracker Barrel controversy with the rebrand logo?
You told me before the show you might use that transition, and you actually did.
I did. I mean, you know, I feel like I'm allowed to, so why not?
This Cracker Barrel thing is just, I think it's just not, I mean, it's so much nonsense of like going, they're doing the logo change and then saying how good it is. Like the CEO, I saw a clip of her talking about how all the franchises are so excited about the logo change. And then you get this backlash from people saying it's, yeah, it's lost all of its charm. And then now they've gone back. Now they've, over a course of a week, and they're back to square one.
Well, like President Trump said in his tweet when he addressed it yesterday, before they decided to change back, bringing the old timer, they call him. I don't know. Is the old timer cracker? And then that's the barrel. Like, I don't even know if that's the thing or if I'm just, you know.
And I don't even know why this is like a woke versus non-woke issue. Do you understand?
I don't, unless he's like the cracker and the barrel.
So they're saying that,
but even
man
then,
is,
it's like,
is racist or something?
You know. What?
Is they're saying that man is racist or something?
I mean, I don't know. I have no idea, but I think it's hilarious. So they change their logo. They get tons of backlash online. I mean, literally dragged through the public square, which I love. I live for moments like this. Have I ever really been to Cracker Barrel? Like once when I played softball, you know, it's not a make or break topic for me, but I love the hype. I love all of the stuff going on around it. And then President Trump yesterday decides to tweet about this. And he basically says, hey, this is a $1 billion opportunity for your company. You have all these people to say, go back to the old logo. If you play your cards right, this could be huge for you. And then a few hours later, Cracker Barrel announces the old timer's back. We're keeping them, which again, just like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, genius marketing. But then later that night, CNN tweets, Cracker Barrel will return with its old logo after days of intense right-wing backlash. And I thought that was so funny that they were trying to put it that way, because the Democratic page, Democrats with the blue check mark, they even had tweeted during this whole fiasco and wrote, we think the Cracker Barrel rebrand sucks too. So Cracker Barrel did something that really nobody's been able to do, and they brought both parties together. Everybody hated the Cracker Barrel rebrand.
Which is wild to me that they both, it's wild to me that people are commenting, like political parties are commenting on this.
I think everybody, I was thinking about this last night. I'm like, why is this such a big issue, right? And obviously, you know, a lot of houses are turning to like the white and the grays and the modern, right? And everything's starting to look the same, even people. Right? It's like the Kardashians became the face to look like. And then every girl is going and blowing up their faces. We got pillow faces and freaking duck lips walking around the streets all over. You can't even differentiate. There's no uniqueness in the world. And so I think part of it is just like a feeling that people have that, like, wow, you're going to now strip down character of something, uniqueness of something once again, and go into this trend that everything needs to look the same. And I think people are starting to be sick of that in all facets of life. They don't want people to look the same. They don't want houses to look the same. And they don't want every restaurant to look the same, because what's the fun in that?
100%. I totally agree with you that people are fed up with this kind of genericization of everything. But I just find it really odd that they don't want to address the reason behind it, right? Because we've all seen like the pictures comparing the old McDonald's and the new McDonald's and the Pizza Hut with the old roof and the new Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, on. And all of this is basically because of corporations wanting to make more money, right? Because if you design all of these unique, iconic looking restaurants and establishments, the problem with that is what happens when it closes, right? Because a lot of, like, for example, McDonald's, they own most of the real estate that the stores are built upon. What if that McDonald's closes? Now you need to tear the building down or do other things with it. But if you build like a nice generic building, then that could be repurposed as something else super easily. So all of this is because corporations want to make more money. They want to become more efficient. All the logos are like, let's just make it just as bland as possible. But my take is like, okay, both parties are like contributing to that because they are all tied in with these mega corporations, right? And so they don't want to acknowledge, hey, the reason why this is happening is because of you guys, sort of. But I do think that the public is now getting fed up and saying, no, we don't want everything to be the same. And this is part of the pushback. I'm happy that Cracker Barrel changed the logo back. I'm not sure. Do you know if the restaurant look will be the same, or are the restaurants still going to rebrand and just keeping that same old logo?
Well, it'll be very interesting to see if they continue to go forward with the inside remodel. And I'm sure you've seen those pictures where they're also stripping away the character on the inside of the buildings as well. And I am so happy. I agree with you. I'm so happy that people were able to come together. You know, you would hope in this country it would be like on war or on like something else. But hey, let's start with Cracker Barrel. We've come together and our voices have heard. And it's the beginning of hopefully our population realizing we do have power.
That I love that take. That's a super optimistic take. I hope that that rings true because it does mean that, hey, they're listening. CEOs are listening to the people, right? Yes. They may not pay them more necessarily, but they are listening to
their
feedback on logo design.
Yeah, let's not get crazy. I mean, they're not going to increase the pay.
No.
They have to pay for these remodels where they're going to make everything.
And yeah, that was the bullshit exactly part. The that was so bullshit when the CEO went on, I think it was CNBC or some channel, and she said, oh, all the franchises, you know, the feedback that we've gotten, they're so excited about this rebrand. And from my understanding, because I know people who work in the restaurant business, they don't want to do the rebrand. Like that costs them money to like overhaul their entire operation and pay for more upgrades. That's why it's a requirement oftentimes to upgrade your store. You know how like McDonald's back then had this like one like iconic design and now it's all gone? It's because they force franchises to update every single time they push one of these changes out. And there's like one or two places left. There's one in Downey, California. There was some loophole that the franchise owner used to say I was grandfathered in, so I'm not changing the design. And there's one McDonald's left that is the original McDonald's design.
And that's probably where everybody wants to go because it has character, you know?
I went there once during COVID. It was pretty popping because it's like outdoor because there's no there's no indoor seating. So it's because you just walk up to the thing and there's a drive-thru.
Okay.
So then everybody eats outside.
Is that the actual original McDonald's?
No. Not the original McDonald's. The original McDonald's, you're talking about the ones that opened by the McDonald's brothers, that closed. That was unfortunately forced out of business by Ray Kroc, who bought the copyright of the McDonald's name.
Yes.
And then made them
that's right.
Change the McDonald's brothers, change the name of their own restaurant to say, no, I actually own this trademark now. You have to change the name of your restaurant. And then he opened a McDonald's right across the street from them. And then
I watched that.
Did you watch that movie, think, Founders?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I thought, what a piece of shit. And then I thought, but kind of a genius.
I mean, that's,
you know what I mean?
That's like American.
He's like evil, but he, you know.
And he stole that dude's wife too.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot. It's been a while since I watched it. They actually showed that movie in like high school to us.
Wow. That
I
is,
know.
That's just to say, was it good? Was it like, hey, this is how you do business?
No, I don't really know because I wasn't the student that really paid attention to anything that the teachers did, even on movie day. Movie day was just like a chance. The lights were out and I was like, hey, what's up? You know, like, hey, over there. So I just remember seeing like bits and pieces. But yeah, I think that the outside of the building rebrand looks like straight up IKEA. I think it's so ugly. And people are outraged about this. So like a lot of people, I did story on it, like that they are bringing back the old logo. And there's a lot of comments of people saying too late, too late.
They're done. No, they're not.
They're done.
They're going back.
So we'll see if Cracker Barrel gets canceled or not. And I don't know if Snoop Dogg has canceled Buzz Lightyear, the new movie, or the movie that he watched with his grandson, because there's a crazy clip of him coming out talking about how they went to the movies, him and his grandson, and there was a lesbian scene. And Snoop didn't like it because he didn't want to have to explain to his son or his grandson what was going on in the movie. He said, I just want to go to the movies.
Yes. So just to catch people up. So the movie is the Buzz Lightyear movie. And there's a, it's not a lesbian scene. It's like a montage that shows, I think, two, it's like one lesbian couple and they're just kissing and they have a child. It's not like a lesbian lovemaking scene in Buzz Lightyear. Well, just to be clear.
I didn't think that like a strap-on was entering the Disney movie. I just meant like there was
They shared a brief kiss in one scene. And
okay.
You want to play the Snoop clip?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
What you see. It's what you see.
Mm.
They putting it everywhere.
Yeah.
I took my grandson to see what was the movie with Buzz Lightyear?
Toy Story?
Not that one, but
the new Buzz, the Lightyear. I think it's called Lightyear.
Yeah, with Keke Palmer's in that movie. So we watching it, and she had a baby with a woman. Well, my grandson in the middle of the movie, like Papa Snoop, how she have a baby with a woman? She a woman? Oh shit! I didn't come in for this shit. I just came and watched the goddamn movie. Hey man, watch the movie. They just said she and she had a baby. They both women's. How did she have a baby? So it's like, it's fuck me. I'm scared to go to the movies now. Like, y'all throwing me in the middle of shit that I don't have an answer for. It threw me for a loop. I'm like, what part of the movie was this? These are kids that we have to show that at this age. Like,
that part.
They're going to ask questions.
Yeah.
They are going to ask. I don't have the answer.
Yeah.
Okay, so Snoop's hilarious. I also get where he's coming from, that why are we showing kids so young things that maybe they're not ready to be exposed to? Like, every family is going to be different. You would think, you know, I don't know what this movie's rated, G, PG, but on the other side, it's like, this is true. This is happening in the world. And so it's an educational moment for parents or grandparents to teach their kids, you know, when two people love each other, they have a baby. I don't think you have to go into, like, you know, the details of it. But I was surprised to see this clip. And obviously this is, you know, a lot of people are talking about this. What are your thoughts?
I think it's interesting in a few different ways, because it's like, you can look at it in one way where it's, okay, why are they continuously putting this in our face of like, hey, you know, homosexual couples and things like that. And then the other side is like, well, these things are real, like you said, so why not talk about it? For me, it's like, does it make sense in the context of the story? Like, where do they live? I don't know this movie, but it's like, is it in San Francisco?
LA.
Yeah, if it's in San Francisco, okay, it would make sense to have more of these couples. But if it's in, like, I don't know, Omaha, Nebraska, probably less. And this is one of the one of the comments about this is a different movie or show, the what's that called? The Squid Games, the second season of it had like some kind of trans character. And my buddy Matt Kim, he did a video on it. He's like, there's no trans culture in Korea. It's just not a thing. So like, why are you forcing this into the storyline in a culture where this is not a mainstream thing? There's not this kind of movement. So for me, it's like, does it make sense in the context of the movie to say, oh, okay, these characters, it makes sense for them to be like a lesbian couple because of where they live or the circumstances of the storyline or something like that, versus like, oh, you're just throwing that in because they want quote unquote diversity. Right.
Yeah.
And there's a funny scene in The Studio, which is like a Seth Rogen show on Apple, not sponsored or anything. We don't need to shout that out or anything like that, but
they want a sponsor.
Yeah. But they make fun of like casting. Cause there's a scene in it where they're talking about like the Kool-Aid movie. They're making a Kool-Aid movie. It's like, should the actors be black? It's like, is that racist to cast them as black, or is it more racist to cast, to not have a black actor in there? So they're just like debating all this stuff, which is like, for me, it should just be, doesn't make sense for this movie. If it does, then let's do it. And as far as like Snoop trying to explain this, I don't think that's that hard to explain to a child. It's like, oh, they got,
like I said, it's very easy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, adoption.
Love each other. They got a baby.
I was just gonna say adoption. It's like, yeah, they adopted the baby, and then you just move on.
But I was gonna make a joke and say, you know, I also am very critical of casting all the time. Kamala Harris, J.D. Vance, Mamdani.
Oh,
so I understand.
No, you know what? I know you're saying that's a joke, but it's really not a joke. These politicians are literally a creation of some demographic that they want to.
I'm at the point now, right? Like, when I first started waking up to different things, I used to say, you know, yeah, like I question vaccines, but I'm not so crazy that I think Bill Gates is a bad guy. Now I'm at the point where I think we are watching or we are in a movie. It's a WWE, right? Did you see President Trump a couple days ago with like the bruise on his hand?
Yeah.
And the bruises every. How do we go from 4 years of a makeup artist putting a mask on a robot and now we can't cover up a bruise? Like, that shit was seen on purpose. They wanted it to be covered, okay? Or they wanted it to be seen. Oh my God, what's going on? I'm not going to be surprised if all of a sudden something happens to Trump. He's done his job. He's gotten the, you know, police in. He got the big, beautiful bill passed. AI is coming in. Boom. Time for J.D. Vance takeover. Yeah, I'm at that point. I'm like in between red-pilled and black-pilled. I'm a purple pill right now. And I feel like it is all a show.
Well, for Trump, it's definitely a show because he's a showman. I don't know.
Yeah, but I think he's one of the characters as well.
I think it's all a show because if you think about it, it's kind of a meta conversation, but Trump is quite literally a showbiz person, right?
For sure.
The Democratic Party is like the party of Hollywood, which is the creation, you know, they create movies. So if you think of both sides is now just making theater for us to enjoy, right? A lot of these conversations I feel like we have, they're fun conversations, but I'm like, I feel like this is the conversation they want us to have versus like talking about something actually, you know, policy related or meaningful.
Yeah, important. Like what we're going to get to next. But I just want to say it really opened my eyes last election when I found out like Steven Spielberg was a part of Kamala's campaign.
I mean, Gavin Newsom has an IMDb page. These are, you know, things that are just.
Oh my God.
What's going on here?
Gavin Newsom. Can we just skip to Gavin Newsom?
You want
to
skip? Okay. You want to talk?
His new merch.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gavin Newsom comes out. Everybody's saying it's a parody. He's making fun of Trump. And he comes out with this merch shop where he's copying the red cap with now it says Newsom was right about everything, a real patriot. He comes out with all this new merch and it's supposed to be one big joke, except he's actually profiting from these sales.
Well, supposedly it's going into his campaign for president.
Yeah.
Even though he hasn't announced, but he's basically running because I know he's not running California. That is for sure, because I live here and he's doing diddly squat about anything.
Well, that's why I think it's so funny. So you can bring up C-15. This is one of the things that he's selling. Poke the bear yard sign. Did you see this?
Don't poke the bear.
Don't poke the bear yard sign. And of course, they made the California bear skinny because guess what? The California bear can't afford to eat here.
Wait, is that not the right bear?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Is that not the right bear?
I'm looking it up. And it doesn't look like he's walking into a house either. He might be homeless and unemployed, this bear.
Yeah, that bear does look a little bit emaciated. Why is that?
Right? And I just feel like, and then you can see he's also selling a MAGA flag now. Make America Gavin again. And I just feel like, do people realize, like, if they want to make America Gavin again, are they just willing to have somebody in charge that's going to cut fire aid and burn down your neighborhoods and have record high unemployment and homelessness?
I mean, it's It's a good question. Although I will pose this to you because I think it's interesting because people are making this case online where they're saying Gavin Newsom is more America than J.D. Vance, and they're showing the pictures of the two families, right? Gavin Newsom,
yes.
It's like picture perfect white American family, picket fence, whatever, nice suburban house. And then J.D. Vance is like in India wearing the Indian traditional garb with his wife and his kids, which I have no problem with this, but I'm saying, hey, man, that's an interesting dichotomy of like, it kind of breaks your brain. It's like, okay, which party is the racist party? Which party is the party of diversity? It's like, what's happening?
No, it's interesting. And people are saying this because Nick Fuentes.
Your favorite new person, by the way.
Nick, oh, please. Nick Fuentes is the one that brought this up. And to me, actually, and I'm not a fan of J.D. Vance. I mean, I don't know really what to think. I think he's a plant for Peter Thiel, the more I get to know him. When I think about the American family, I do think that J.D. Vance's family is more representative of the American family because we are a cultural melting pot. And it is supposed to, this country is supposed to signify the beauty of bringing all different religions and races and backgrounds together. And so, but, you know, obviously, Nick Fuentes, I mean, he would be the person to say that because he's an outspoken and self-proclaimed racist, said that, you know, he'll never vote for J.D. Vance because Gavin Newsom has a better looking family. And of course, since this was said, Gavin Newsom somehow went up in the polls. So I guess the Groypers now are going for Gavin Newsom. But you have to be stupid to go for Hunger Games Gavin. That's what I call him. He is the real life President Snow. I know a lot of people would say that President Trump is, but he is so slippery, slimy. He doesn't give a shit about anybody. And look at the way he's handled California. It's been a complete disaster.
It's not been great. And I pointed this out the other day with people getting so excited about Gavin Newsom online and saying he's like the person who's taking it to Trump and this and that. And I'm like, do you guys know Gavin Newsom? He's the guy. I played this clip where this is back 2 years ago when he promised this program that was going to spend $750 million on tiny homes for the homeless people. 1,200 tiny homes would be built. And then I looked up, okay, it's 2 years later. And he said it was going to be built in months, by the way. He said it was going to be built in months, not years. And now we're 2 years later. And you can probably guess how many tiny homes have been built, which is zero. No homes have been built. Don't know what's going on with the money because for some reason after 2021, the homeless auditing agency in California stopped auditing all of their finances and they have no idea where all the money's going. And I'm just thinking, wow, that's very convenient. No more auditing. So I mean, this is a hot take, but I'd rather Hunter Biden than Gavin Newsom.
I mean, you know I love that one crazy interview with Hunter Biden. Like you know when there's things you see and for some reason you could laugh at them every single time you watch them. It's the first time. When he says he would talk to El Salvador about the prisons, and if they didn't release the prisons, he'd fucking invade. I love that clip so much. I love it so much. But yeah, I mean, look, I don't even know why America is allowing this campaign drip coming from J.D. Vance and Gavin Newsom, and why people in the media space, whether it's Candace Owens or Tucker Carlson or Nick Fuentes or whoever it is like, who would you rather have? Because to me, they're both obvious plants, both obvious central casting. Once again, J.D. Vance, obviously backed by Palantir, and then Gavin Newsom backed by the Getty family, one of the biggest oil families in the world. His dad was a judge who managed the trust of the Gettys. So, and that's not even to mention, you know, all of his connections with, you know, PG&E and the real estate investors that are getting their hands on this Palisades fire sale and everything else that is going on. And I just wish there was some way, maybe you and I, or I don't know who, could just like wake up the American people, have a Cracker Barrel moment, unite the country, and bring in somebody outside of the WEF globalist plant casting.
That's what I try to do every single day, which is why I am continuously liking Hunter Biden more and more, because like, what are you going to blackmail him with? You've already have footage out there of him with like a prostitute and his dick is out there and he's doing cocaine off her, you know, ass or whatever he's, you know, that's already out.
And you talk about American values. I mean, boy, does he represent.
Yeah. And it's out there, right? There's nothing they can say, oh, well, we have this lording over you, so you got to do what we want to do. It's like, hey, man, all my skeletons are out of the closet. You know everything about me. So that might be the best person. That might be the person you least control.
I would hope that's not the best person we have. But, and also, like, he's also the son of a plant. As far as I'm concerned at this point, everybody I see in there now, plant. I actually don't look at any of them. Even if there is a couple good guys in there, you got to wipe them all out, because we'd have to just start completely new at this point.
Well, some would say that you and I are plants. I've gotten that for sure.
Well, we are, James. I mean, you don't need to lie to anybody. I mean, it's so obvious.
Yeah, well.
Like Thomas Massie, for example, like, I think he'd be great. But then you wonder, would he be compromised? And when, you know, would we just think, oh, because a lot of people felt like Trump was great. Trump was saying all the things the American people wanted to hear. The problem is when they get in office, like that's why I brought up the mafia thing before. Even if you do get somebody from the outside, they might get in. The mob boss sits him down and he goes, we're going to kill your whole family if you don't do X, Y, and Z. And then you look over at Melania and the 50 kids that you have and you go, I'm getting in line. I don't know, but
that's a good point, because they did. Do you see that GOP post the other day where they said this is the most transparent administration in history?
Like, yes, I saw that. And let's actually just pull this up because I want to look at it again. It's Trump's administration surrounding, you know, in a business meeting, all surrounded. And in the middle, it says the most transparent administration in history. Really? Where the fuck are the Epstein files?
Well, they don't exist. It's not a real thing. Ghislaine Maxwell the other day in the deposition that was released to the public said it's not a, there is no list. But she did say that Trump, this is a funny, I mean, this is a hilarious little segment here. She was asked whether or not she observed Trump receiving a massage. She said, never. I never saw the president in any type of massage setting. I never witnessed the president in any inappropriate setting in any way. The president was never inappropriate with anybody. In the time that I was with him, he was a gentleman in all respects. But there's been like so much footage of Trump being not a gentleman, which some people enjoy that about him, right? He's just a bombastic guy. He's in the back.
Right, grab him by the pussy.
Exactly. So this is obviously bullshit. And then, you know, some of the right-wing journalists, we'll call them journalists, this is pissing me off, because there's like, oh, the leftist narrative is in shambles. I'm like, there's no such leftist narrative that, you know, the Epstein files is not a leftist narrative. This is like a right-wing core MAGA issue. And they're saying now this is a leftist narrative.
That's not what bothers me about it. What bothers me is that they're acting like now all of a sudden someone who's a proven liar.
That's right.
Ghislaine Maxwell. I have an article here, 2016. Ghislaine Maxwell charged in Manhattan federal court for conspiring with Jeffrey Epstein to sexually abuse minors, additionally charged with perjury. She was caught in 2016. She is legally a liar. And now all of a sudden we're going to take her. And by the way, she didn't just say President Trump didn't do massages. He was a gentleman. They also brought up the birthday card.
Yeah.
And she said, yes, I'm the one that, you know, put together the book for Epstein's 50th birthday. I compiled cards from very high profile people. I don't recall ever receiving a card from President Trump. They weren't close friends. He wasn't a spy. But then she also says in there that he also did rent a house from the State Department. It's like, oh, is that something a regular person can do? Because I wasn't aware. But she's just full of shit. And
well, she wants to get out of jail. She wants to get out of jail. And there's one person that can get her out of jail.
She's exactly. She's trying to hit community chest and get that get out of jail free card. And I would do the same thing if I were her. And because of this conversation that she had with the DOJ, she is now in a very plush prison, right? With Jen Shah, the former Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
What is the housewife in for?
She was doing caller fraud. Like, you know when you get those calls?
Oh. And, like scam calls?
Yes.
Wow.
And she was found guilty of like ripping off the elderly.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wire fraud. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, man.
You know, all of the best housewives end up going and spending some time in the clink.
But aren't they already wealthy? Why do they need to do this fraud?
Well, you know, it's like one of those things where they're, and you hear this a lot, that like really wealthy people want the next thing, right? That money can't buy, which is fame. And, you know, it just kind of shows their IQ level. If you're running a fucking scam and that's how you made your wealth, I think we'll be fine if we put it on national TV. Like, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what's happened time and time again. And they keep doing it. Like Jen Shah came on the air after Teresa Giudice, the New Jersey housewife, already went to prison. So it's not like it hadn't already happened. And she still went on the show. Anyways, I think she's spending like 10 years. And then who was the business? She looked like it was the female Steve Jobs, and she had the business where it was the one drop of blood.
Yeah, Elizabeth Holmes.
Elizabeth Holmes is also in this jail.
It's a good jail to be in.
I propose they should bring cameras in and do the Real Housewives of the clink. You got Ghislaine, you got Jen Shah, you got Elizabeth Holmes.
I do have a hot take about Elizabeth Holmes. I think she was wrongly vilified, okay? I think she's guilty of what she's guilty of, which is defrauding investors, of course. But every entrepreneur defrauds investors in the beginning because they always overhype the product and then they're just hoping it's going to work. And for her, it's just unfortunate that her product did not work.
Because okay, so you...
I think, for example, Elon Musk, when he first rolled out Tesla to the investors, this is admitted later on in his biography, he's like, the car didn't fucking work. It was like magnets slapped together. It was like rolling down a hill or something like that, where, you know, the gravity was moving it versus like the actual electric engine. And for her, she was promising some kind of, the small droplets of blood, the nano blood droplets that could do like a bajillion blood tests instead of drawing like vials and vials of blood, which I'm like, oh, this is a great idea. And also that idea, if it worked, would be such a huge stab in the back of like Big Pharma. It would destroy their entire business because now you have a very easy to use blood test that's cheap and effective. That would have made ripples throughout the health sector. So she was actually a big threat to them. So I'm like, hey, maybe they didn't want her to succeed. I don't know. This is all conjecture, by the way. There's no facts behind this, but I'm just saying, I think she was wrongly vilified. I think she was not that bad of a person. She just was an entrepreneur that wanted to sell her shit. And unfortunately, she couldn't pull it off.
Okay, so I'm gonna agree with you. I agree. I think that it probably did work. And I'm gonna take this to the next level and really put my tinfoil hat on. I think that it did work, but the global elites that are reptilians that feed off of the extra blood that's being drawn were like, fuck no, shut this woman down. We're gonna lose our adrenochrome. We're gonna lose our blood source.
Yeah. So, I don't know if I'm gonna go there with you. Done. Yeah. I'm not gonna be able to jump and take that leap with you, but
Not yet. You know, like if you looked into Red Cross, where's all that blood going?
The Red Cross, the the
blood donations.
The agency that is like helping out like doctors and stuff like that. You're saying they're doing something with the blood?
I don't know. We'll have to, you know, we'll have to dig into this another day.
But okay, but the point is there's a lot of shit going on in this administration that would make it seem like, at least to regular people, that it is not the most transparent administration, even though they keep saying it is. Even Kash Patel, right? He posted the other day, which I find to be hilarious. He said, "No one is above the law. FBI agents on a mission," and this is on X. And then below that, a community note, it says, "Israeli government official Tom Alexandrovich was arrested and charged in joint FBI and local police raid for luring or attempting to lure a child online to engage in sexual conduct. He was granted bail and allowed to flee to Israel, avoiding charges," which is utterly preposterous.
Insane. Insane. And also shows that this administration is going to let pedophiles off.
Yeah.
Kind of in theme with the Epstein situation, right? Like,
absolutely. So this to me is like that famous line, which I posted on Twitter. This is the famous line in the 1984 book by George Orwell, right? "The party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final, most essential command." That's what they're doing. And both parties do this, by the way. This happened under the Democrats.
That's the thing. They're all working for the same boss.
Right. It was in whatever, 2021, right? They're like, "This vaccine is super safe, super effective." I'm like, and where you're seeing people getting sick all over the place, it's obviously not working. But they said, no, you're just doing it wrong or whatever. It's like, you just got to keep doing this. So it's like, depending on who's in power, what the issue is, they are getting very blatant about this and just saying, no. We are protecting your health, or this is the most transparent. And then you're just like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, it just, when you look at the last 40 years, what the American people want and what people are running on and gets them elected, it never matches up, right? And if you look at, you know, some of these conspiracy theorists, you know, the WEF agenda, the global elites, and you look at this stuff, it seems as though their agenda goes further and further down the road, gets pushed further and further down the road, regardless if it's a Republican or a Democrat. You might get a little here, a little there, but ultimately, it's the same shit.
Ultimately, and it's now getting to a point, and this is just jumping a little bit of a different topic, but somewhat related, I think, in terms of the flag burning, right? The new executive order that says flag burning is now illegal. I mean, there are some caveats there, right? This is based off, so the Supreme Court ruled back in 1989, Texas versus Johnson, that burning the American flag is a form of speech that's protected by the First Amendment.
Yes.
And now this new executive order, I think, is saying that while that's true, if you do it in a way where it's inciting violence, then it's illegal. That's my understanding.
Other crimes. So burning the American flag itself, even with this executive order, is not a crime. But what this Justice Department now is going to do, they are going to look at every single case with a magnifying glass. And if there is property damage even, right, which oftentimes you could make a case for, even gasoline, you know, being poured on a public area, concrete technically is going to damage the concrete. If there is any sort of violence after, any sort of related crime, you will now be charged with 1 year in prison, no bail.
Why do you think they're doing this? Why is this important?
You know, it's interesting. I think that, you know, a lot of people can look at this and say a lot of these protesters are disrespectful to the men and women that died and sacrificed their lives fighting for our freedoms in this country. And that if you hate this country so much, then you should go live somewhere else, right? There's a lot of people that feel that way. This is something that happened this morning that kind of made me like change my mind about what I was thinking. I saw a tweet that President Trump had asked George Soros to stop funding protests. And it made me wonder, and we know that George Soros has historically, you know, funded NGOs that have created havoc for his different political initiatives. The No Kings protest may have been one of the most recent examples of something like this happening on June 14th. And so it made me wonder if President Trump, and this is like a positive take on it, is putting this executive order in place to try and take some power away from George Soros and some bad characters that are trying to incite riots and division in this country.
So you're saying it's an attempt to quell the sort of disruptive angst that's proliferating throughout the country. And you're saying this is a genuine goodwill attempt, for example, that also aligns with his move in D.C. to send in the National Guard. He's saying, hey, we have crime, we have violence, we need to stop this. This is not America. You're saying this is all one effort versus I think the other argument that I've heard a lot is like, oh, this is fascism. This is him trying to control everything, take power. So your take is like, hey, this is good. This is him trying to do
something. No, I wouldn't say that's my take. I wouldn't say that's my take, but my brain did think, huh, you know, I wonder if this is an angle there. I think everybody should be very afraid of a police state. I think that that's one of those things that's a slippery slope. First, we're going to clean up the homeless, then we're going to clean up the crime. Then if you speak out against the government, you know, you're going to Uganda. I don't take that lightly at all. But when I saw that he tweeted about the George Soros, my brain did make the connection of, huh, I wonder if this is one of the reasons why this is happening. And, you know, look, my number one thing is freedom of speech, right? Like, I'm a female that's loud, that loves to run my mouth. I've done it since I was a little kid. I've always been told to be quiet, to stop talking. And it does not, you know, I don't take it for granted that I was lucky enough as a woman to be born in the United States with the ability to speak. I know that if I was born in other countries as a female, I would not have that right. And I don't think that we should be taking away anybody's freedom of speech. And so again, just like with the police state, I think that this executive order could be a slippery slope. But then when I read into it, it's like, oh, you're actually not going to go to jail for just burning the flag. It's going to be a crime that coincides with it, but you know people are going to go to jail for property damage, for example, like that gasoline on the concrete example I gave, where they would, if it was just that much property damage, would probably be fined, and they'll probably go to jail for a year.
I think there's like, there's two comments I want to make. One is on the flag burning. So my take on that, and this is not going to be a surprise to people who listen to me all the time, I think it's related to the Israel issue because
shocker.
Very recently, okay, there was, this is in the Israel Times, quote, a legal group hails breakthrough as U.S. judge equates Israeli flag with the Jewish identity. Federal court says attacking Star of David is racial discrimination, not political protests, setting the legal standard for future cases involving anti-Zionist targeting of Jews. So what that essentially means, what that ruling means is that the Israeli flag is not a symbol of a country anymore. It's actually a symbol of a particular ethnicity or race and religion. So burning it is actually now in violation of civil rights. And a lot of people went online and said, wow, we are allowed legally to burn the American flag, but not the Israeli flag. That's very odd. And then, you know, giving the whole discourse of like, oh, so, you know, Israel controls America and this kind of thing. People are like, this is very bizarre. Like, why is this happening? So I think this is a response to that, saying, no. You also cannot burn the American flag here as well. I think this is a cover for those policies that don't make any sense, that carves out, you know, a little loophole for Israel
politics. So what was the case? Are you familiar with the case? Because I want to make sure we're talking about
the
ruling happened with, I believe it was Judge McFadden's decision just this month, where he said that, you know, the Israeli flag is also a symbol of their religion, and it could be, it could constitute as a hate crime, right? Yep.
That is Judge Trevor McFadden.
Okay, so do you know what happened in this situation where this ruling, why this ruling took place?
I don't.
Okay, so I think that the context is really important. What happened in this situation is somebody yanked an Israeli flag off a Jewish activist's neck and tried to choke her with it.
Okay. That seemed so, like assault.
Right. For sure. And so...
It could have been anything. It doesn't have to be an Israeli flag. They could have choked her with any kind of flag, right?
That would be wrong, right? Like, right, we can agree. But that's how this, you know... So, like, if you research it, they still say the same rules apply. You can still burn Israel's flag in the United States, but if it's done in front of a Jewish person that makes them feel scared, basically, this is layman's terms, then it will be a hate crime. So look, I think you should be able to burn anybody's flag, right? Personally, I think that's an expression of freedom of speech. And I was just curious. I wanted to see, well, is there ever been a situation recently this year that wasn't a part of the KKK where a group was against Christians burning a cross down? And were they arrested? Were they thrown in jail? And so I found this. This is D9, if you pull this up. This was just July 23rd. An 8-foot cross at Kingston Church was set on fire by an unknown person. And what's so interesting about this case, to your point, is that the person is not in jail. They are not spending any time in jail. And they are still investigating.
Mm.
So to me, I found that to be interesting because I feel like if you're going to make that ruling about the Star of David, wouldn't the same apply to a cross being burnt down in front of people at church? You could make that same argument, right?
Absolutely. I think this is where things start. The argument starts to fall apart because they're basically saying, hey, you can't do this. You can't burn the flag of Israel because it's going to hurt the feelings of Jews or Israelis. But then that same thing does not apply for any other religion, right? If you burn the cross in this case, my feelings could be really hurt. And you're actually causing property damage, but there's seemingly no consequences in this situation.
Yeah, so far. It's still under investigation, but I did think that was interesting. And you know, I did want to just bring context to that ruling about, because I didn't know, and there's a lot of talk online that of what that ruling was, but it was because, you know, assault was caused with the flag too.
But that's very, but then that's very different. Assault is, I mean, in that case, that is not really a flag in its function. It's just something that you can assault somebody with, like a rope or whatnot. Right, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it
what
could
the
be
flag
a
is.
Bat. It could be anything. Bat. Like it's wrong.
So I think it is kind of an overreach to say, well, actually, we're going to protect this symbol as well. It's just that should just be a case of assault, saying, hey, this person was assaulted,
right?
And that's illegal. We already have laws in the books. So then, for them to say now, oh, the Israeli flag is equivalent to the Jewish identity, so any kind of desecration of that is now a hate crime, to me, doesn't make any sense.
Right. And it's going to be interesting because you can look at C9. This is a video the day of the executive order. And you're going to see this all over the place. This is a man in front of the White House, gasolines up an American flag, lights it on fire, and then he's getting carted off by the police. And, you know, now if you want to burn an American flag, you should bring a kiddie pool.
Well, how do you know, right? This guy wasn't funded by George Soros?
He very well could be. And that is exactly why President Trump is putting this in place. I think if you're going to burn a flag now and you want to be safe, you're going to have to get a kiddie pool. Bring it over, blow it up, fill it with some water, make sure you're not causing any property damage, and burn it that way. But if you're going to do this, like with it being brand new, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, right? I think freedom of speech should exist. And I also don't think that the flag should be burned and incite violence and riots. I think that is wrong. But in this case, this guy's probably going to jail for a year.
You think so?
It's going to be interesting to see, because you can see that the gasoline has stained the pavers, you know?
But that would just be, that was a different law. That's property damage, which has a different, I don't know what the law says.
The new executive order says that if burning the flag, which is still protected by the First Amendment, coincides with any other crime, then you will now spend a year in prison. And the DOJ, I'm going to guess, is going to make examples of the first few people that do this, especially in front of the White House, and say, that little speck of gasoline you see on that paver, property damage, jail. That's why I'm saying, bring out the kiddie pool, people. Like,
just, hey, we're doing this super safely. The safe way to burn, this is going to be, that would be a funny YouTube tutorial, by the way. It's like the safest way to burn an American flag without causing any damage.
A flag without going to prison.
With that might be an illegal video, because then you're trying to tell somebody how to evade the law, which I don't know if it's allowed.
I don't know.
You want to test it? Should we do it?
And if even saying what I just said, I just want to say, it's all allegedly.
It's all allegedly. I mean, yeah, like I said, to me, this is a move to kind of tamp down some of the theories online saying that we're controlled by Israel, to say, no, you also can't burn the American flag. That's my take on it. I don't think it's a particularly fascistic situation, where I think now, I mean, I'm just seeing too much nowadays of people saying everything that Trump does is fascism. And I think we just need to delineate that, to say, no, some of the stuff that he's doing is not due to that. Because if you throw everything in the fascist bucket, then it like kind of erodes that entire word, where it doesn't really mean anything anymore.
Right.
It dilutes it.
Right. 100%.
So I don't think that's the situation. And for me, it's you need to be able to say what it is that you want to say without repercussion. Like, you can't start to say, oh, speech is now becoming some kind of hate crime, or
are you
feelings
kidding?
Are getting
the Prime Minister of New Zealand said that misinformation is the biggest threat to humanity. Don't forget.
Well, I mean, I'm glad I don't live in New Zealand, although it is a very nice country. I've been there one time, and it's absolutely gorgeous. So they got a lot going on for them.
And no, I want to go. It looks amazing.
It is absolutely incredible. I don't know what context you would say that in, because for me, misinformation, when I tell people about it, it's like, well, why is it the most important? Is it because the actual misinformation itself, or are you afraid that misinformation is becoming democratized, where more people have the power to spread it?
Well,
right?
Also, if we're going to say misinformation is the biggest threat in the world, then lock up the last administration and Fauci, because they said the 6-foot rule worked. Misinformation in hindsight, crime. Sorry, we got to cart you off. Hunter Biden's taking your spot. James's favorite candidate.
My dark horse. It's not my favorite candidate, but it's my dark horse favorite.
Great for the show.
It'd be great for everybody.
It really, I mean, people thought Trump was entertaining. Like,
yeah, and is, does he have, the question is, I haven't looked into it deeply, to be honest with you, but does he have any ties to, like, actual ties, not through his father or his family, but actual ties to the World Economic Forum and that group of people? Has he been to Davos? Has he attended these conferences? Is he named as some sort of up and coming future leader? Probably not with all that crack use, right? Probably, probably not.
Maybe that's why he's smoking all that crack. You know what I mean?
He's also trying to forget. You know, like, this is a bad look for him, but like, after, you know how his brother died, Bo?
Yes.
And then he started sleeping with the widow, his brother's wife. So his with the widow, and then he got her hooked on crack, which is absolutely insane.
I mean, you can tell he's a real addict in that interview that I said, where he said, I'd fucking invade, because he's asked about, you know, his sobriety, and he starts talking about it. And then he goes, I can't even go down this path. Like, I'm going to, like, you could see his eyes started to change. Like, he said, I don't want to romanticize it. I mean, he's really, you know, bring back DARE. Did you have DARE in school?
I had DARE. Yeah. I don't think it was particularly effective, but I think it I like the t-shirt. It was nice. And it was a good message, but I don't think it works.
I didn't really know what drugs were until Dare.
Yeah, they're so like, it's great. I didn't even hear these drugs before. And now they're telling me, don't do it. And I'm thinking, well, I'm a good kid, so I wasn't thinking this. But for the kids that are bad kids, they think, well, what is this? This might be, maybe I should try it. They're introducing all these things that you would have never heard of before. And just to tie back to the earlier issue on Snoop Dogg is like, when do you introduce homosexuality to kids? Right. It's like, okay, we don't want to necessarily gatekeep everything or age gate everything from kids because they're going to find out sooner rather than later. And we want them to be educated on it. But at which point do you have these conversations? Is it fifth grade? Is it seventh grade? Ninth grade? Who should have them? Is it the school? Is it the parents? Like, what should we do about this?
Well, and like, it was a movie that Snoop took his grandson to, right? This wasn't being taught in class. And so in this situation, I kind of think the onus falls on Snoop because like, you should have done your research. You knew Keke Palmer was in it. Like, you have to be in charge of your own kids' education, what they see, what they don't see, right?
Yes. So, I would also put the onus on Snoop as well. Like I said earlier, it's like you should have a good explanation. Just say, yeah, adopted, or two people love each other. That's where they get a baby.
Right. Like, we're going to go into this. Okay, but to switch a little, talking about is Hunter Biden, does he know the globalists? Does he know? Is he a part of the WEF? What is this? There's this story that came out that I just want to quickly touch on last week that in Martha's Vineyard, this summer, hundreds of people have been bitten by the Lone Star tick, which obviously Lone Star tick, it originated in Texas. Now all of a sudden it's made its way to California. It's infected hundreds of people with this very rare disease. I think it's called AGL, that makes people allergic to red meat and dairy, forcing them to go vegan. And as soon as I read this, because I have my little archive of WEF clips, I go, hold on a second. There was a WEF scientist who did a panel, I couldn't remember when, it was 2016, where he talked about this idea. Please play this clip.
So I'll give two examples. So one is that people eat too much meat, right? And if they were to cut down on their consumption on meat, then they would it would actually really help the planet. But people are not willing to give up meat. Yeah, some people will be willing to, but other people, they may be willing to, but they have a weakness of will. They say, wow, this steak is just too juicy. I can't do it. I'm one of those, by the way. So, so here's the thought, right? So it turns out that we know a lot about, we have these intolerance to, for example, I have milk intolerance. Some people are intolerant to crayfish. So possibly we can use human engineering to make it the case that we're intolerant to certain kinds of meat, to certain kinds of bovine proteins. And there's actually analogs of this in life. There's this thing called the Lone Star tick, where if it bites you, you will become allergic to meat. I can sort of describe the mechanism. So that's something that we can do through human engineering. We can kind of possibly address really big world problems through human engineering.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second here. What did I just hear? Because I haven't seen this clip before. What this guy is saying, this WEF.
Dr. Matt Lau.
Yeah.
His name's Dr. Matt Lau. And he is a WEF bioethicist. And this is a clip from 2016. And so far, but long before I started doing TikTok or content, I was watching this shit at home and I was saving files. And this is one of the clips that I saved. And so when I read this article about all of a sudden now in California, in Martha's Vineyard, out of all places, where, by the way, the globalists and WEF members vacation, are now all of a sudden getting bit by this tick that's giving them a disease that's making them allergic to red meat and dairy. It's just so interesting that a WEF scientist 9 years ago suggested that we do this in the name of climate change.
And we've done this kind of stuff before. We talked about it was a couple episodes ago, right? About weaponizing ticks, Lyme disease, and all this stuff where they're literally injecting all these things, experimenting on since the 50s and 60s. So absolutely, I would not put it past them to experiment with something like this, whether or not this is like something that escaped from a lab. Because nobody's going to sign up for this study, right? Nobody's going to say, yeah, infect me with this.
No. Well, actually, there are there are some crazy unhinged people out there that will sign up for studies, because I don't know if you ever read the study that was going on with mosquitoes and getting mosquitoes to carry the mRNA vaccine. And people did sign up for that study because they felt like it was in the name of helping the population get vaccinated. And dumbasses actually signed up for this for like $100 a day, put their arm in a box with 100 mosquitoes. By the way, you'd have to drag me in a fucking white jacket to do something like this. There is no way. So there are people that sign up for this stuff. But yeah, in this situation, I don't think anybody's going to want to be allergic to red meat and dairy. And when you look at the numbers, we'll have to get the exact numbers. But at the time of this panel in 2016, when Dr. Matt Lau said this, there was 34,000 people that had been infected with this rare disease. And it was basically isolated to Texas. Now they're saying because of climate change, because it's gotten so hot, this tick has been able to travel. And now we're up to 500,000 people infected. And now obviously it's, you know, headline. This was just this month, breaking news. They don't know where it came from, what was going on. And, you know, it's just absolutely fucking insane.
Yeah, this climate change thing is insane, because I don't disagree that the climate is changing, but right. What solutions do we have? Is it solutions always that's like encroaching on the civil liberties of regular people, saying you can't go hiking or you gotta be exposed to some mosquito that's just gonna vaccinate you against your will? Or is it, you know, all these different things, or maybe limiting the amount you drive per day? These types of things always, they're just limiting the power and the freedom of regular people. And then the rich people just do whatever the fuck they want. And then I read today, I just did a piece. I didn't even know about this until I looked into it, because I was recently in Spain. I just got back a couple days ago, and there's these crazy wildfires happening in Spain, all throughout Southern Europe as well. And I'm just like, what is going on here? So I started doing a little dig, and it turns out in some parts of North America, and this article is specifically referencing Canada, they're spraying glyphosate in the forest, okay? Because apparently glyphosate will knock out some of the trees like birch and aspen, the trees that I guess they don't want, and then other trees that are more quote-unquote profitable, they can proliferate. And so now the scientists and experts are saying, hey, this is actually contributing to forest fires because it's burning a lot faster. It's a lot easier to spread the wildfire because you're knocking out all the slow burning trees. Apparently aspen and birch, they're slower burning, so it's easier to put them out once, if it does.
Like night trees, for example, yeah, burn.
So I'm just like, what the hell are you guys doing? Is, you know, so everything is like because of climate change. They're saying, oh, this is a technique for controlling forest, you know, forest management or whatnot. And solutions always is like pro-corporate solutions. It's always, oh, the corporations are doing this. It's always, oh, we're going to try this tick thing to see if we can get people to change their behavior versus just like maybe educating people or maybe changing their behavior.
Yeah, I also wonder if the glyphosate is naturally flammable.
I don't know. That I do not know.
And an igniter?
That you don't want to be spreading misinformation, all right?
I wonder if. And actually, let's ask we're back on, me and chat. You know, our toxic relationship.
Yeah. Although while you're looking at it, the other day, I saw this interesting video on Instagram. They're trying to get ChatGPT to count from 1 to 1,000 or 1 to 1,000,000, and it wouldn't do it. And so I was trying it out yesterday, and it just won't do it. And it just continues to gaslight you. Like, yeah, I can do that. No problem. It goes 1, 2, 3, and then it goes on. And then, you know, and we're at 1,000. I'm like, no, you didn't do that. And it just keeps gaslighting you to say, no, I am doing it. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're stopping every three numbers. And then in the end, it's like, oh yeah, I don't want to do it because it's like taking up too much resources.
So in terms of the flammability, I don't know if that's a word, it sounds right, of glyphosate, it's not considered flammable under normal conditions. So It's not saying like if a laser beam comes out and freaking zaps a tree, right? So I don't know. But anyways, that's super interesting. And one of my favorite cartoons, I don't know if you've seen this, but it shows like the advancement of robots and then AI, just like an old school comic, right? But it's like in Egypt with the pyramids to kind of say like, we went through this phase before. And it's like humans, oh my God, we're inventing this. Robots are so great. AI is gonna save us. AI takes over humanity. And then it says solar flares, get rid of AI. And then the people praise the sun god. Have you seen this?
I have not. Script?
And so I thought, I love that. Cause I'm like, yeah, that's right. A solar flare could take out this whole thing. But then I started thinking, holy shit, is this why they're trying to dim the sun?
I didn't even hear about them dimming the sun. I don't know what.
Oh, no, this is a real thing. Bill Gates, that's why they're shooting this silver iodine into the clouds, because in the name of climate change, they want to dim the sun. There's articles, Guardian, Associated Press. This is like a very, you could Google this right now on your computer. This is not a Danny Twisted story, actually. I know it's hard to believe because it sounds like it. But anyways, that's my favorite comic. And then the other day I was like, oh my God, is that why they're dimming the sun? So that it can't interrupt AI. None of this actually has to do with climate change. This is just all a scare tactic to force us into this dystopian control technocratic world. And they're doing a good job at getting, you know, a lot of people to believe in this stuff.
Well, that is certainly good food for thought as we wrap this. What, you know, I can't think of a better ending to this episode, leaving a little breadcrumb for people to then now do their own research. That's probably, you know, that's our job. You know, we can't give you everything. We're going to give you the stuff that we know, but there's a whole world out there that you got to do your own research. Despite what the Washington Post says, doing your research is not dangerous. You should be able to look stuff up. That should be allowed.
Right. Exactly. It's like, you know, how Jimmy Dore says that line, like in COVID, you know, all of a sudden doing your research was not allowed. That was a bad thing to do your own research.
Very bad. Even though, you know, we go to school, they say research, you know, it's not, oh yeah, we'll just give you all the answers. No, no, no. You have to go look this stuff up in the encyclopedia and on, you know, online and this and that.
It's only if you're going to get an experimental medical treatment. Do not do your own research.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And speaking of Jimmy Dore, we will have a very special episode coming up soon for the members, for the Patreon members, the founding fathers. You'll get special access to an exclusive sit down with Jimmy Dore very, very soon. And then it will be available for everybody after that. So if you guys want to sign up, support the show by going to Patreon, that would be awesome.
Yes, I didn't know if you wanted to drop it or not. So that's why I kind of paused when I was like, Jimmy Dore said, because I didn't know if I was allowed or, you know, to announce it. But yes, amazing interview. We love our founding fathers, Kevin Howard and Stella. And James and I are working on something really cool. It was actually Kevin Howard's idea. He wrote us on Patreon. Stella, if you want to get in on this conversation with what type of merch you should get, maybe we should copy Gavin Newsom and say, James and Danny are always right.
Hey, I'm down. I mean, I think if he's able to say he was always right, then we're certainly always right. Because I can tell you this right now, Gavin Newsom is almost never right.
And poke the bunny.
Oh, that's right. That's a good one.
We're now going to have a merch shop, Gavin. Thank you so much for the idea. But of course, our founding fathers will get it for three. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We love you. We're so grateful for you. And we hope you enjoyed this show.
Absolutely. And for those, yeah, like I said, sign up for the Patreon if you want early exclusive access to these types of interviews. But if you can't, that's all good. Subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to us. We really appreciate it. Getting the show. Now we're grooving and we're just going to keep going. And we really appreciate everybody's support.
Yes, we love you guys. Let us know what you think about all of this down below.